I had other plans in terms of preaching this weekend, but I thought to perhaps move the emphasis from the gospel that I had planned to preach out of to the second reading in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, given events on Friday and given just our call to really look to our lives and to particularly look to our own serenity and our ability to rejoice even in the midst of affliction. So with that in mind, I want to say, I guess the formal title is A Recipe for Rejoicing, but I want to say the more informal title is simply Five Steps to Better Mental Health. Five Steps to Better Mental Health. You know, we're in a time, even before we heard about the terrible events of Friday, we're in a time that I think a lot of us find stressful. A lot of us do find difficult times. We're running to get ready for many things, and there's just this need to step back every now and again and say, whew, I need to find some serenity. I need to find some calmness. I need to find, if you will, better mental health. And so, St. Paul today, in this reading from the Philippians, says, gives us, if you will, here in the fourth chapter of Philippians, a kind of recipe, if you will, or five steps to better mental health. Now, by the way, a little word about the background of this letter. Paul is not into writing slogans and bumper sticker stuff. You know, he's not coining empty phrases to just work us up and make us think positively. Paul wrote this letter from jail. He's in jail. He's got shackles on his ankles. He's jails are bad enough today, church. Let the deacon say amen. You know, deacon works down at the D.C. jail here for our Catholic parishioners are down there, and he will be the first to say jail isn't good today. But I want to just tell you, jail in Paul's day was even worse. You know, they're down in a dank dungeon underground with mold and mildew, and let's just talk about the rats and the worms and the snakes, with shackles on his feet. So you see, Paul is not in a good state, if you will, externally speaking, as he writes these, if you will, this recipe for better mental health. So this is not about cheap slogans. This is about a man who knew hardship and yet knew how to find a place to go in his heart where he could be serene, joyful, and confident even in the midst of affliction. So are you praying with me, church? St. Paul writes later in this same letter, he says, I've learned how to be content with whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Paul says, I've learned that. And church, it's not an easy thing to learn, is it? Somewhere, Paul is saying to us that happiness is an inside job. You know, I know an awful lot of people that got wonderful externals. Big, nice house, lots of stuff that we would call comfortable, but they're not happy. And I also know some folks that don't have any of that good, fancy stuff and are very happy. And I know all the different combinations you could come up with in that chiastic example. But I'm just going to say to you that in the end, for all of us, happiness is an inside job. And that's what Paul's getting at today. So we're clear then. Paul isn't just handing out cheap slogans to us, right? He's in jail. He knows the difficulty. And yet he shouts out to us, rejoice! Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Let me just repeat myself. He says, rejoice. Now, with that in mind, the first step in better mental health is to rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Notice he doesn't just say rejoice, he says, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord is near. So, the first step, rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. Now, it is of supreme importance for us as Christians to cultivate, by God's grace, an ongoing and a deeper and a more abiding sense of God's presence in our life in every moment. In every moment. You know, I've made a journey like all of you in faith. And I will say that there was a time in my life when I wasn't all that close to the Lord, and I might say to you that I could have, when I was back in a teenager or I was in college, I had other things on my mind than God. Running after the ladies and finding my place to the nearest beer. And I will say to you, to my own shame, that I would go off in hours or days without ever thinking of God, lost in the things of this world. But you know, as I've grown in my spiritual life, I've come increasingly to what all the saints call the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life is to be in living, conscious contact with God at every moment of our day. And that's the normal Christian life, to be powerfully aware of God's presence all throughout our day, in the events of our day, in the people that we interact with, in the beauty of His creation. God is powerfully present to us. And so that's the gift to be sought and the gift to cultivate, the gift of the presence of God in our life. So, church, St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Later on, he says in this letter, pray always. Does he mean stay in a chapel all day? No, he's saying that let your heart and your mind be in living, conscious contact with God all throughout the day. Church, seek that gift. And I pray, just like I, that you too have grown in that, and that more and more as you've made this journey, you've become more powerfully aware of God's presence. Presence in your day, all throughout your day. Because there is the source of your joy. St. Paul isn't just saying, get happy, rejoice. He's saying, get close to the Lord, and there will come upon you a joy in the presence of the Lord. In fact, the Greek word here, kairou, which is translated here, rejoice, it's not a happy, clappy, slappy kind of joy, you know, just kind of a cheesy emotionalism, getting all whipped up and stirred up and telling jokes. The better maybe translation of the word here would be serene joy. Paul is talking here about a deeper experience than mere passing emotions, but a serene, a stable joy in the Lord. And that's what Paul's describing. So he's saying to us, come to understand the presence of the Lord in every circumstance, in every moment of your day, in every person you're interacting with. And I tell you, he says, there will come a joy that the world doesn't give and the world can't take away. So step one in the five steps to better mental health, rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Step two, rely on prayer in the Lord. The text says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, make your request known to God. Again, relying on the prayer that we have in the Lord. What is prayer? Prayer is that ongoing conversation that comes from one who is habitually in the presence of the Lord. You know, generally it follows that when we're with somebody, we tend to talk to them throughout the day. If you've got people at work, you may at times be working quietly, but in a moment you'll turn and talk to them. How about with God? If God is present with us, are you speaking with Him? If you're experiencing His presence, aren't you always, in an ongoing way, speaking and constantly talking with God? And again, to the degree that step one is in place, that we're cultivating and receiving that gift of being powerfully aware of the presence of God all throughout the day, we're saying, Daddy God, help. Jesus, my Lord and brother, help me out here. And we're constantly in touch aware of his word, of his teachings, hearing his voice in every line and making each saying mine, as the old song says. Always being mindful of his presence, of his teaching, of what he is saying to me, how I can always go to him in every need and in every prayer. Oh, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. So make your prayers and your petitions known to God. Now, this text says, do not be anxious, but pray. Now, that goes to something we talked about 2 weeks ago. The word anxious here in the Greek refers to being all divided up inside, being all conflicted, anxious about this, torn in this direction, pulled in that direction. So many things to do, things to accomplish, all ripped apart and torn. And how will I accomplish everything? What if I don't have all the resources I need? Overwhelmed, pulled in all different directions. To all this anxiety, Paul says, go to the center. Go to Jesus. Remember we looked up at that rose window? You know, the makers and the designers of this building always wanted you as you go out those back doors. I know some of you sneak out the side, won't say hello to me. But as you go out the proper doors at the end, you look up. And the idea is that's your week's plan. That's it right there. There's your plan. Jesus is the center of everything. And to the degree that he is the center of everything, all those outside pedals, your career, your family, your children, your house, your bills, your whatever it is that's on your mind, all of it is perfectly arrayed around the center. And Jesus is at the center of that rose window. By the way, we've got some beautiful photographs of that in the candlelight store. Dr. Gwynn took some beautiful photos, and they're beautifully framed and matted, and encourage you to consider even buying one if you need that, to just kind of keep you centered. Keep you centered. That's the whole point of a rose window. Everything is ordered around the center of your life, Jesus. And that's what Paul's saying here. You see, you're pulled in 80 different directions, all ripped up inside, torn apart with worries and tasks and so many things to do, and anxious, divided, torn up, ripped up inside. Go to the center and let Jesus Christ order your life. Talk to him. Let him begin to put order into the chaos of our lives. So again, Paul isn't just saying, well, don't be anxious. Don't you hate that when people say that? Don't be anxious. He's telling us how. He's saying, first of all, you be rooted in the presence of God. So again, step one, rejoice in the presence of God. Step two, rely on prayer to God. Go to the center. Habitually dwell on the presence of the Lord and habitually be there in that center point of your life, Jesus. That your life increasingly become about one thing, knowing the Lord and moving toward him with all due speed. St. Paul says, this one thing I do, I press on to the prize marked out for me in Christ Jesus my Lord. The book of James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So it is, we go to the center. So step one of the five steps for better mental health, rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Step two, rely on prayer to the Lord. Step three, remember the provision of the Lord. The text simply says, do all this with thanksgiving. Do all this. In other words, rejoicing in the presence of the Lord, relying on prayer to the Lord. Do all of this with rejoicing, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. Remember the provision of the Lord. What is his provision? It is his providence. What is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is a way of disciplining our mind to focus on how good God has been, and to focus on our blessings, to focus and to go to him and say, thank you, Daddy God, you've been so good to me. And church, as we begin to discipline our mind to do that, you know what it does to us? We become men and women of hope. Men and women who say, I know God did not bring me this far to just leave me here. He's going to keep on blessing me. I've trusted him in the past, and he's brought me this far by faith. Oh, he's going to keep on blessing me. And I might not get everything I want, but I will get what I need. And it might not all go the way I want it to go, but it's going to go his way, and it's going to be all right. But you see, Thanksgiving is a way of recalling and disciplining our mind to say, remember, self, all the ways God's blessed you today and in the past, and just be joyful. Remember what he's done for you. Remember so that you're grateful and you're different. So you see, that's what the text is saying to us here, that we must remember the provision, that is to say, the providence of the Lord. Now, a couple things about Thanksgiving, too, is that it helps us to have a proper view of reality. A proper view of reality. Listen, every day, 10 trillion things go right, and about 6 or 7 things go wrong. You say, oh, Pastor, you're exaggerating. There aren't 10 trillion things going on. Yes, there is. I am not exaggerating. 10 trillion might be an underestimate. Every cell of your body is up and running and functioning. Every cell of your body has something called a semi-permeable membrane. And that semi-permeable membrane somehow knows how to let nutrients in but keep viruses out. You say, not my cells, Father. I'm sick with a virus now. But I'm just telling you, those cells, they're doing marvelous things. God is doing a marvelous thing. Amen? He's sustaining every fiber of our being. Every cell of our body is up and running and functioning. Every molecule of air around you is gift. It's all up and running and functioning. We live on this place called Earth, which is a marvelous place. I tell you, some folks say there's got to be a billion other like Earth-like planets. You know, a lot of scientists say maybe not. So a lot of things that come together to make life possible here. Our Earth is just the distance it needs to be from our sun so that water is not either frozen or turned to steam. It's right in that sweet spot. And not only that, but our Earth, unlike all the other planets, which have steep ellipses for orbits, ours has almost a perfect circle for an orbit so that we don't sweep far away from the sun and then come in real close to the sun. Church, that's a miracle. And God's taking care of that. He's got an asteroid belt out there that collects all the space junk so all those rocks don't keep falling out of space onto the planet and wiping out civilizations. God's also got a couple of big gas giants out there called Jupiter and Saturn that are catching comets for us. You see what I'm saying, church? He's got this magnetic field around the Earth that lets in the good rays of the sun, but keeps out the harmful rays so that we're not all cooked like in a microwave. Church, I'm not exaggerating. 10 trillion things are going right every day just so we can live. God is doing it all. Oh, Lord, what a marvelous thing you're doing. And by the way, about 6 or 7 things probably go wrong today. Are you praying with me? Do you see how messed up our minds are if we don't dedicate ourselves to gratitude and thankfulness? Thank you, Daddy God. Thank you for all the stuff you're doing that I don't even know that you're doing. Thank you. You've been so good to me. You've blessed me. You gave me life. You've sustained me. And I've had struggles in my life, Lord. Even those, though, somehow they're a gift. Because your word tells me that all things work together for good for those who love and trust you. Somehow, even those bad things are gifts in strange packages. Oh, church, are you praying? Gratitude. What an important thing for good mental health. Otherwise, we're all, we're negative and bent over and that. You know how it goes, right? What you feed grows. And if you're going to feed the negative things, those 6 things that go wrong today, and I'm not going to make light of them, some folks are suffering a lot right now. There's some real setbacks that can happen in this life. But church, don't lose your perspective. don't lose and don't get so focused only on the negative that you're only feeding the negative. Because I'm telling you right now, what you feed grows. And grows. I'm telling you, feed the negative, it'll grow. Feed the positive, it'll grow. So what happens? Too much of a steady diet of negativity, and we become negative. Now, therefore, step three in these five steps to mental health, better mental health, would simply be this. Remember, fix your mind on the provision, the providence of God. And God is a mighty provident God. Amen? So again, here we are, just quick remembering here the three steps so far. Rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Rely on prayer to the Lord. Remember the providence of the Lord. Step four, rest in the peace of the Lord. The text says, and if you do those three things, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now that word there, guard, is sometimes translated keep. You know, we can have a few moments of mental health and be off on the deep end, amen? What we're looking for is that stability where the Lord keeps us in a stable mental state of serenity, of peace, of joy, of confidence, so that when stuff comes up, we're not just all just swept right on down the stream. You see the vision? If you are, I say, church, rejoicing in the presence of the Lord and cultivating that sense of His presence, if you are relying on prayer and staying in that conversation with God, and if you are remembering the providence of God, I promise you, increasing serenity and a stable serenity. And I'm a witness. Church, I used to struggle with anxiety. Did I have an anxiety demon? I had legions of anxiety demons. And I'm just going to say the Lord has really delivered me. And I'll tell you how. Just exactly what St. Paul is doing. I've become more aware of God's presence in my life. I've become more prayerful. And I've become more, if you will, focused on thanksgiving. I am remembering His providence. He's been good to me, church. He's seen me through a lot. I'm not so worried now about what might come tomorrow. I just know if it does come, He'll be there with me then too. And He lets things happen sometimes. We don't know why. He lets things happen sometimes for a season and sometimes for a reason. But He is there with us. And I'm confident now. I'm confident. You just keep praying for your pastor. I don't want any of those anxiety demons ever to come back. Amen? You don't need an anxious pastor. You need a pastor who's serene and joyful and confident. And I'm grateful for your prayers because I know it's made a huge difference in my life. So again, resting in the peace of the Lord. Let this serenity come upon you and let the Lord go to work and guard that. Keep that serenity for you. Again, keep working these steps because more and more your personality and mind become stably rooted in God and the things of God. And we're not just carried downstream by one little thing that can set us off. Are you praying with me? Step five. Again, just to review the other steps, we're rejoicing in the presence of the Lord, relying on prayer to the Lord, remembering the providence of the Lord, resting in the peace of the Lord, and the final step is a kind of a maintenance part. Reflect on the plan of the Lord. Reflect. Now, this text I'm about to share with you is just one verse beyond what Ms. Jimmy Clare read this morning. They cut it off right there. You know, they're keeping it brief, unlike your pastor. But there is this line that continues on from what we heard today. And it simply says this, Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Hello? Again, what you feed is going to grow. Now, I don't know about you, but I got some friends and some family members that love to watch that 24/7 news cycle. You know, the one that if it bleeds, it leads. Breaking news, and there is breaking news every now and again. But you know, a pretty steady diet of political controversy, a steady diet of if it bleeds, it leads, and everything's falling apart, tune in at 11, a steady diet of all that stuff, it's going to mess with your mind. Now, I don't say don't stay up with the news. I just said be careful. Because St. Paul is saying, look, don't just look at that stuff. You know, we all love to hear the bad news. Come on, tell me more. But St. Paul says, discipline your mind. And again, he says, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think on these things. There's a lot of bad news out there today, church. You all know that. We've been through a rough weekend here. I'm just going to tell you that there's a lot of good news out there, too. I'm looking at a lot of good news right here. I'm looking at some folks who knew enough to get up today on a cold morning and come to God's house and praise Him. That's a victory, church. That is a victory for the Lord. That is His kingdom. We just sent a lot of children off to study the Word of God. Church, that's a victory. That's good. That's decent, good, holy, admirable, pure. You see, there's a lot of good things, and if all you do is focus on the negative, you're going to get negative. So again, you see the vision. 5 steps to better mental health. Again, just briefly stated, then I'm done. Rejoice in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is near. Cultivate that presence. Rely on prayer to the Lord. Knowing His presence, stay in conversation with Him all throughout the day. Remember His providence, always giving thanks, remembering how good He's been to you. Let that give you confidence and hope. And having done those things, begin to rest in that peace and that serenity. Let it guard you and keep you more and more stable. And finally, again, reflect on the plan of the Lord, always going back to those things that are good, decent, admirable, pure, good, all and excellent and praiseworthy, and think on those things. Study God's Word. Be rooted in it. Be filled with a sense of wonder and awe at the magnificent things God is doing. 5 steps to better mental health. And it all begins with cultivating a sense of the presence of God. The song that just says God is. God is the joy and the strength of my life. He moves all pain, misery, and strife. Church, God is. God is the center. God is working His purposes out, and it all begins there, focused on the presence of God. 5 steps to better mental health. From the best authority in the world, the Holy Spirit, through St. Paul. Amen.